Blessed good morning to all of you. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we bless you for this beautiful day that you have made. We bless you, Lord, for the life and the health that you have given to us. We ask, Lord, that you speak to us through your holy word. Give to us understanding of all that you are saying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning once again. Every day in the news, we hear the sad stories of people who have succumbed to complications of COVID-19. But the good news, praise God, the good news is that our immunity can be boosted if we are vaccinated. You know how I wish there could be a vaccine that could prevent not only the Delta variant from affecting us, but protect us from all future viruses. And more than that, I wish there could be a spiritual vaccine to fortify us against all the bad situations in life. Praise God, there is such a spiritual vaccine. In our Colossians reading for today, from Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul wrote this as his prayer for believers. He said, "Being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy." Colossians 1:11. In this simple verse, simple and yet profound and complex, we see that there is a preventive and there is the power. The preventive is the spiritual vaccine that will fortify us against every adverse situation in life. Just as in the natural, vaccines are made up of ingredients, so too, this spiritual vaccine has ingredients. Three to be exact, and they are endurance, patience, and joy. Endurance and patience, what are they? To many people, they are one and the same. In fact, they are very closely related, but they're not exactly the same. And so one of the best definitions I've heard concerning these qualities, endurance and patience, actually comes from a man named G.B. Caird. He's an English theologian and a Bible scholar. So this is how he defined it. He said, "Endurance is the refusal to be daunted by hard times. And patience is the refusal to be upset by perverse people." I like that. You know, when we have hard times, we so need endurance to get us through. And when we are confronted by difficult people who make life miserable for us, we need patience. But here I must make a confession. When I first read this Bible verse, I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy because it says that I will be able to go through all the difficulties in life. You know why I wasn't happy? Because I would much rather have a life of beautiful situations surrounded by beautiful people. Unfortunately, we all know life is not like this, is it? Life is such that we have plenty of adverse situations and more nasty people than we care to name, than we care to remember. And so we need endurance. We need patience. But you know, if all we have is endurance and patience, yes, we will get through all the difficulties. But life could be a tragedy. And so we need the third ingredient. And the third ingredient is joy. Without joy, life would be a tragedy. You know, God made us to be more than conquerors. He made us to be victorious in every situation, having joy, being strengthened by joy. You ask, how can we have joy? I believe we can have joy because we're not alone. Jesus has promised to always be with us. This is a photo of my friend, Steve Lytle. God has used Steve mightily in the ministry of Aliyah. Aliyah is a Hebrew word and it means to go up. So God has used Steve to actually bring countless Jewish people out of their homelands and to settle into their new homeland, which is Israel. And you know, in Jewish thinking, Jerusalem is high up on a mountain. And so if you go to Israel, If you go to Jerusalem, you are literally going up, literally Aliyah. Aliyah is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And why am I telling you this? It is because I want to show you that Steve is a man who lives with passion for God. Steve himself is an American Jew. I have his permission to share this testimony with you. In January this year, Steve was in the US. One night, he fell down. He was so badly injured, he had to be warded in hospital. He was in so much pain, in so much injury, that he couldn't even sit up in bed. He could only lie in one position in his bed. And this continued for 3 months, January to March, until the doctor spoke to Steve's daughter, and they said to her, "You should put Steve in a hospice, because honestly, we do not expect him to live long, not more than 6 months." But praise God, God had other plans. And so, one night, the same month in March, one night, God did a miracle. It was about 10:30 p.m. Steve was in his hospital room. He said suddenly, the room was filled with glorious light. And Steve said, "Yeshua came into the room." Now, Yeshua is actually the Hebrew name for Jesus. Jesus went to Steve, put his hand onto Steve's chest, and said to him, "Son, don't worry. Everything is going to be okay." Steve then grabbed hold of Jesus' arm, and Steve fell asleep. You say, wait, isn't that an anticlimax? If Jesus came and spoke to me, wouldn't I want to ask him a million questions? Steve fell asleep. I had to tell you that even falling asleep was a miracle in itself. Before this, Steve was in such terrible pain that every night, even with strong painkillers, he'd be screaming in pain, screaming so loudly that the nurses would have to close his hospital room door because he was upsetting all the other patients. This night, after Jesus came and touched him, Steve slept the best sleep he had in a very long time. The next morning, when Steve woke up, no pain. Praise God, no pain. A miracle. A physiotherapist came into the room. She didn't know what had happened the night before. And so she said to Steve, "You know, you haven't sat up in your bed for a very long time. And would you like to even try?" She said, "I will help you." And so she went to the attached bathroom to get hold of the safety belt. The safety belt is what people would put on a patient, and so that if the patient falls down, you can grab hold of the patient and save him. So she went off to get the safety belt. Meanwhile, Steve, of course, knew the pain was gone and Jesus had healed him. So Steve sat up in bed on his own, and he even stood up and he began to walk on his own. Now, when the physiotherapist turned around and saw Steve standing on his own, she practically fainted. She nearly fainted because, you know, it is impossible. If someone has been lying sick and in pain for 3 months without moving, it is impossible for him to even sit up in bed by himself. Certainly, it is impossible for him to stand and to walk by himself. And Steve said, "The power of God, the presence of God was so wonderful, so glorious in that room, in the hospital room, that the physiotherapist, she cried. She simply cried, overwhelmed by the presence of God." Just then, a nurse came into the room. She also encountered the wonderful presence of God, and the nurse also broke down and cried. Steve said, "The presence of God remained in his hospital room for 3 more weeks until the day Steve was discharged from hospital and he went to a rehab center." You know, when I heard this testimony, I also cried, because God's presence is so glorious. His healing is so wonderful. I was so curious to find out more. You know, Steve is in the US, I'm in Singapore, but I'm so curious. So I SMS him. And I said, "Steve, that night when Jesus came into your room, what did Jesus look like? And Steve, what was Jesus wearing? Those are such stupid, basic questions, but that's what I wanted to know. So I asked him, and this is what Steve answered. He said, Jesus, he was surrounded by light, surrounded by glorious light, and he wore a robe. And Steve stressed, this was not a vision, it's not a dream, it was real. Jesus really came and touched him on the chest. When Steve reached out and grabbed hold of the arm of Jesus, Steve said the arm was firm, it was warm, it's just like a living man. Praise God. I spent so long to tell you about this because I really want to stress that God is so wonderful. He is so glorious. Do you know the reason why Steve couldn't move in hospital for 3 months? After he fell, after he was warded in hospital, the doctors did blood tests. The blood test showed that there was a poisonous bacteria in Steve's bloodstream. And this poisonous bacteria, it moved from his shoulder to his arm and then to his spine. And so he couldn't move. But that night, after Jesus gloriously healed him, the blood test showed Steve's blood is normal. Praise God. There's no more poisonous bacteria. Today, you ask, how is Steve today? Well, today, Steve is walking, he's driving, and he even has a plane ticket so he can fly out of the US when he needs to. Amen. How wonderful to have this spiritual vaccine. But you may ask, how do we get it? And so, let's look again at Colossians 1:11. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. To get the preventive, to get the vaccine, we first need the power. There is nothing, there is no one in this whole world who can compare with the power of God. This is the glorious power that raised Jesus from the dead, resurrected him after 3 days in the grave. And it is power that God wants to give to us. Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Acts 1:8. I first experienced this mighty power of God many years ago when I was a student in St. Andrew's School. That was a time where the exams were over, but we still returned to school. No classes, no lessons. We still went back to school. And so we were free to do anything we wanted. The Christians went off to the chapel. You know, St. Andrew's is a Christian school, Anglican school. The Christians went to the chapel. The non-Christians remained in the class and just chatted and played games. At that time, I was an atheist. I was not a believer. I didn't even believe that God existed. So I was with the non-Christians in the class. Suddenly, we heard very strange noises coming from the chapel. It was as though the Christians were shouting in languages that we had never heard of before. I was so worried for my Christian friends because I thought they studied so hard for their exams that now they've lost it, they've gone crazy, their brains just snapped. So I was so worried, I was genuinely concerned for my Christian friends. And I said to my friend, also a non-Christian, and I said to her, you know, we need to save our Christian friends because they've gone crazy. I said, let's go to the chapel and save them. And she agreed. So the two of us, we went over to the chapel. When we got there, we were so shocked by what we saw. The Christians were just everywhere. Some were sitting on the benches, some were on the floor, some were walking around. One boy was shouting very loudly, "Repent! Repent!" Some of them were crying. Some of them were speaking in very weird languages. That was actually the gift of tongues. In those days, I knew nothing about the gift of tongues. And that was actually the start of the charismatic renewal in Singapore, which God did in schools. In those days, I had no idea what was going on. I could only see so many things I couldn't understand. And so I decided to sit down and try to just observe and understand what is happening. So my friend and I, we sat down and observed. You know, the strangest thing happened to us. We began to cry. We began to cry uncontrollably. One atheist, one non-Christian, crying and weeping madly. And I'm so angry with myself. I said, why are you crying? Come on, step out of it. Come on, wake up. Stop crying. I couldn't. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't stop crying. That was when God first poured out His Holy Spirit on students in St. Andrew's School. Next year, 2022, is the 50th anniversary of God pouring out His Holy Spirit on students in St. Andrew's School. 50 years. You know, in the Bible, numbers have special meanings. So the number 50 is connected with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because in Acts chapter 2, we see that the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit was poured out onto the believers on the day of Pentecost. The believers in Jerusalem, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they spoke in tongues. Now this word Pentecost is very interesting. It comes from a Greek word, and the Greek word means 50th day. 50th day. And so you're wondering, 50 days from what? So, if you count the resurrection of Jesus, raising up Jesus from the grave, 50 days, you get Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. The number 50 in the Bible is associated with the Holy Spirit. I believe next year, the 50th anniversary of this happening in Singapore, in our Anglican schools, I believe this will be a glorious year for us. But you know what? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to wait till next year. Even now, even today, we can ask. Let us ask God to give us the spiritual vaccine that we need, the power that we need. Let us pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, the Makaraba Sharamataraba Sharamasa. Oh, the Makaraba Karaba Shirabataraba Sharamasa. Even as the Lord speaks to you now, there are some of you here who are going through very difficult circumstances in life. Some of you have very difficult people in your life, and they're making your life very hard. You need the preventive. You need the spiritual vaccine. But first, you need the power. And if it's the power of the Holy Spirit that you need, will you join me in prayer? Just raise your hands to the Lord. Raise your hands to the Lord and let us pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, I give you thanks that you poured out your Holy Spirit upon the believers in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. 49 years ago, you poured out your Holy Spirit upon students in our Anglican school, St. Andrew's. Oh, that you would do so now for all who are crying out to you. All of us with our hands raised who say, we need you, Holy Spirit. Come and baptize us. Come and fill us with your power, that we may truly live for you, that we may truly be overcomers in every situation, that we may have this spiritual vaccine, that we may have joyful endurance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Also, there are some of us here who need healing in our bodies. Even as God miraculously healed Steve Leitzel, I believe God can miraculously heal us also. If you need healing from God, will you now lay your hand on your head or on any part of your body that needs healing? Let us pray. Hallelujah. Father, I give you thanks for your holy presence. I give you thanks for the healing virtue, for the power that comes from you, the power of heaven, the power of the Holy Spirit. So in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone now who needs this special touch from you, the healing in their bodies. And Lord, even as we look to you in faith, I ask, Father, that you would do a healing miracle in the life of everyone who needs you. And Father, when we are healed, we will give you glory and we will say, truly, Jesus, you are the one. You are our healer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.